Parashas Mikates. Beginning of the parasha, we have Paro's dreams, Paro's dreaming. And there's a slight difference between in Pasuk Beis, Paro dreams, sorry, Pasuk Aleph, Paro's dreaming, the Hine Oimeid Al Hayoir. He's standing Al Hayoir. Pasuk Yud Zayin, when Paro tells by Dabe Paro Yel Yosef, Paro tells Yosef, Bacha Loimi, in my dream, Hine Ni Oimeid Al Spas Hayoir, on the edge of the river. So when he's dreaming that he's Al Hayoir, and when he relates the story, he reports it that he was dreaming Al Sfas Hayoir, on the edge of the river. And the Medrash says that Rishoim Oimdim Al Eloiheim, the Rishoim stand over their gods. The Yoir was a god. Now in his dream, he was standing Al Hayoir. Now he was a bit embarrassed to report that. He was dreaming that he was standing over the god. So he changed it in his report. And when he said it over, he said it that Hineni Oimeid Al Sfas Hayoir. I was only standing on the edge of the Yoir. I wasn't actually over the Yoir. What does this mean that Rishoim Oimdim Al Hayoir, Al Eloheihem? What does this mean? Was a missionary who was tried his luck in Gateshead, and his bad luck took him to the door of Rav Tavros Miller. Now he explained what he'd come for, and Rav Tavros Miller said to him, "There's a very fundamental difference between what you do and what we do. You serve God your way; we serve God His way." Meaning, you serve God your way. You do it when it suits you, where it suits you, how it suits you. Or they'll have a religion and they'll do a worship and a service as much as it fits into their box. We serve Hashem His way. The Yosod of a Yid is being Eved Hashem. Avdus means that we accept commands, we accept instruction. And we do it not when it's convenient for us or how it's convenient for us, but we look in Shulchan Aruch. And Chanukah is, of course, the example. The Yesod of Chanukah is one of these unique mitzvahs where we have that multi-tiered in Shulchan Aruch, which is embedded in the halacha. Avada, we know of Purim that there you can give so and so much to Matanis Levyanim, you can give more Matanis Levyanim, but that's not different levels of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. There's one mitzvah, Matanis Levyanim, you can do more of the same mitzvah. And Chanukah is very unique that we have built into the halachos of Chanukah. We have the Ikar mitzvah, you light one candle per household, and then you have Mahadrin, and you have Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. And the reason I heard once, Chaim Kaufman once said, is because, as we all know from the Levush, the difference, the fundamental difference between Chanukah and Purim. Why is it that Purim, one of the mitzvahs hayoyim of Purim, is Mishte? Four mitzvahs. We have Megillah, we have Matanis Levyanim, Shachman, and Mishte. Very important. I know now is not the time, but in some families it gets a bit delayed and a bit forgotten, and we're running for Shkia, and as much as you heard the Megillah, and you're Mekayim Shachman, and Matanis Levyanim, you've got to get a move on with your Mishte. Mishte is from mitzvahs hayoyim. You have to do it. It's a din, it's a mitzvah. And Chanukah, there's no such din in Mishta. Much to the chagrin of many, there is no mitzvah of a suda on Chanukah. Marbin Ketzas says there are more vishiras v'sishvachis, but that's not mitzvah sayyim of Chanukah. And it's well known the answer of the Levush, the fundamental difference between Purim and Chanukah was that on Purim was a gezeirah against the goof of the Yidden. Lahashmid argul abed is kol ha-Yehudim. If a Yid came to Homer and he says, "Do you know what? I'll become a goy chas v'shalom." He didn't want to know. He was mizera amolik. Wants to kill Yidden. Irrelevant. And Chanukah, the Yevonim, wasn't the etzim of melchoma against Jewish people. It was against the Jewish religion. They wanted people to become misyavdim, to become Greek cultured. And this, of course, has remained with us. This has remained our threat throughout the many years of our Golas. Just to take two examples, we know in 1492 in Spain, we were threatened to the neshama. They wanted us to become goyim. We didn't have to kill a yid. If you want to stay Jewish, we'll kill you. We become a goy. And we know the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they went after people who three generations back had already discarded Yiddishkeit and married out. They went digging after them. They didn't want to know, I'll become a German. They didn't want to know. They were, these two gezeiros have chased us all the way through the Golos. But this is the fundamental difference, that on Chanukah we celebrate how the Nes was a Nes Ruchni. Because the gezeiro was a gezeiro against the Yiddishkeit. And that was what we fought. And that's why on Chanukah is unique. We have Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. Because on Purim, says Reb Chaim Kaufman, it's a difference between your guf and my guf. No, you have a bit bigger, a bit smaller, a bit fatter, a bit thinner. But it's one guf, one body, and one body. Whereas Chanukah, we're celebrating the ruchnius of the Yom Tov. That Klal Yisrael, Torah survived. Torah is doch leveled, each person on their level. We don't compare ourselves to the level we learn Torah. Every child can learn a Mishnah. A child learns a Mishnah. And I was there once, I went to speak to Agon of Yisrael Yankee Fisher, Zechatzad Livrocha from the Badatz. He used to learn a Mishnah's Shia after Shachris. 18 Pirokim a day. After, it was just the Mishnah's Shia. They learn Mishnah's, and children learn Mishnah's. Oh, like Karev Zell's there, no Sheikhs, Gedolim learn Gemara, and we learn Gemara. It's multi-tiered. In Ruchnius, there are multi-tiers. So the Yom Tov, which is about the Yeshua of the Ruchnius, is also multi-tiered, because it's all about how much we are going to bend towards the Ruchnius. For the same reason of Shem Zalman says, we finish off Alanissim. Very differently. The Purim Alanissim finishes off, V'solu oisoi v'esbonov aloitz. How does the Chanukah one finish off? The Acha came, Bo'uvanecho, Lidvir Beisecho, Finu Seichalecho, Tiarus Mutashecho, Hidlichu. What happened to the Yevonim? The Purim one, we finish off what we did to Haman. We hang him. The Chanukah one doesn't finish off in, we don't talk about what happened to the Yevonim. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman with the same Yesaid, because Purim was about his body versus my body. So we won the war means that we killed him and we survived. The Chanukah one was a gzeira against the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. So what's called winning the war? Not killing a few Yevonim. That wasn't what the battle was about. The battle was about the ruchnius. So why do we finish off? What's the punchline? That means we won the war when the ruchnius survived. But this is our avodah, to make sure that we are not falling to this trap of Allah Yo'er. Make sure that we are bending towards the Yiddishkeit, not turning Yiddishkeit, chas v'shalom, into a convenience religion. Chas v'shalom. What was... So Pari has these dreams. If we mention Reb Chaim Kaufman, Zechatzad v'Evrocha, he once said, Gevoldige Yesoid. What? Pari is having sleepless nights over these dreams. The whole country is going crazy. Pari is having these dreams. What disturbed Pari about these dreams so much that really shook him to the core, that he turned over the whole country over them? So Reb Chaim Kaufman, Pari's strength was his strength. In Mitzrayim, there was power. Pari had power. Either it was with kishuf, with witchcraft, or they used the lions, the animals, other methods. But the power rules okay. The law of the jungle. Strongest rules. What happened in the dreams? Pari sees the thin cows eating the fat cows. He sees the thin sheaves swallowing the fat ones. And Pari couldn't handle this. The little man is beating the big man. This, he couldn't handle this. There was something over here which was threatening his very essence. And I've got to get to the bottom of this. And any of the nonsense explanations didn't sit by him. Because this is real. And this again is really...
What convinced him to give substance to the dreams?
There was something endless about this dream. which was attacking him. You know, in Yiddish there's a saying, the emes shtecht. In English, the truth hurts. It's not as powerful as the emes shtecht. Someone told me just today, they had to make a difficult phone call yesterday. It was a difficult phone call, and he had to make it, and he was short and polite. And the other fellow responded with a half hour tirade against him. And when he put the phone down, he realized I was definitely right. Because if somebody has to respond with a half hour, then I've obviously touched a raw nerve somewhere. And I was definitely right. The point is over here, this is also one of the important limudim of Chanukah. As we know, Chanukah was Giboyrim Biyad Chaloshim. The Rabbim Biyad Ma'atim. What's strong? What's numbers? That's not what counts. That's not what wins. That's not what goes. And again, the whole Ness was about the Pach Shemen. A little drop. A little drop goes a long way. That's the strength. And this is also an extremely, extremely important limud for Klal Yisrael as a nation and for everyone as an individual. As we know, one of the most powerful slogans kids use against their parents is, everybody has it. The everybody's. The everybody's doing it. And the everybody has it. And the power of the everybody's. And the yochid has to stand up and say, who's the everybody? I'm doing what's right. Not the everybody's. Numbers don't convince me. The famous debate. One of the debates between Rebbeinu and Eibeshit. And the Galach says, it shows in your Torah, Achri Ram La'atois. So the majority of the world doesn't believe. So why do you believe? And Rebbeinu Eibeshit said, that's only when there's a sophie, when there's a doubt, when there's a question, and you have to weigh up. If there's no question, I don't care if everybody tells me it's day now. I know there's a dark. I think they're all crazy. And I know they're all crazy, because I know. I don't have a sophie bichlal. And this is the conviction of the yochid surviving. The survival of the yochid is when he's so convinced of the emes that numbers and strength do not bother him. And this is two tiers. The first level is not to be swayed by the majority, to be convinced myself that I'm right. And the second stage is for the yochid, for the giboyim biyat chaloshim, when the yochid is so convinced that he's right, that he can actually end up turning around the rabbi. And this limud, to be very honest, has been studied by the fire brigade. The fire brigade, as we know in England, has taken on a new role in the last few years. Instead of sitting there doing exercises all day long and once every few weeks running to a fire, they now go out, they're involved in educating people. Any public building today has to have a fire marshal. Fire marshals have to have training. Now, one of the principles of the training of a fire marshal is crowd control, because people go into panic. And when the chas v'shalom is a fire, people panic, and the stampedes. And the primary function of the fire marshal is, as the individual, to stay calm and control the tzibur. And just very briefly, they gave two live video examples of experiments they did. They took a large multi-story public building and they took a guy who knew beforehand he was being used as the experiment. When you get in a lift, which way do you face?
The door.
Everybody gets in the lift, turns around, faces the door. This fellow got in, ground level, got in the lift, and he stood with his back to the lift, back to the door. Went up the first floor. This was all recorded. They hid a camera in the lift. People got in, turned around, faced the door. They saw he's facing the back, and they turned around to face the back. This lift went up another floor, and it happened on every single floor. People got in the lift, turned around, saw everybody else, and turned around this way. And the lift went up and down and up and down. And time after time, it worked. They did another one. There was a business meeting of a senior executive and underlings and secretaries, etc. And one of the people knew beforehand this wasn't real. And during the meeting, under the door of the office, started coming some black smoke. Smelt like fire. Now the fellow who knew that it wasn't real turned around, had a look, and just turned back again. And one by one, this was all recorded. People look of horror on their faces, but he turned them, one by one, they turned around and ignored it. Now this is not rational. The room's filling with black smoke, and they all sat there around the table. You can try it yourself on Northumberland Street looking up at a lamppost and see how many people, if you point, you'll get even more people looking at you. It's the power of the yochid. When somebody knows that this, I'm not scared because I know this is not real smoke, and he turns around and comfortably does it, you can convince people to do all sorts of things just by setting an example. This is the power of Rabin Biyad Ma'atim. But the precondition is when the Ma'atim are convinced that they're right. Vibrains and Ibris is so confident, and we as Yidden, we are so confident we are right. We don't care when the whole world is against us. We're not affected by the Rabin. We're not scared by the big count.
The rest of the world by now.
We don't, that's not our agenda. The Rebbein Shem will do it when the time comes. We can't. We'll do our bit. Ma'at oy toicha har bechoshech. And it will happen in Mitzvah Shem Bekorev B'yamin. It will happen. But we have to begin the process with our conviction that we are right. We're not scared of big cows. It's not the mighty. We don't have Paris nightmares. The pasuk continues. So Yosef comes out and he gives his, this is his key to Chirus now. This is his opportunity to finally get out, and everything's in the Ribbon Shnei. Everything's in the hands of the Ribbon Shnei. Pari's convinced, and Pari listens, and then in Posuk Lamed Gimel, Pari announces, Yosef says to Pari first, V'ator yeirev Pari ish novoin v'chochom v'shiseihu aleretz Mitzrayim. Pari needs to do something about it. You've been warned. There's now 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, and you've been warned, and you've got to do something about it. What's Yosef's suggestion? Do you know who you need to have? An ish novoin v'chochem. Very wise and understanding man. Correct of Elia, Reb Elia Lapin, Zechet Tzadik Livrocha, this shir is doch leilei nishmas, Reb Gershon. Correct of Elia, I don't understand. Who would we have recommended for such a dog? A top askan, maybe number one organizer, the Pichim Sim, or a good convention or something. This is a mass organization over here, right? You need tremendous organizational skills. Coordinate all the produce and where's it all going to go and the storage, and it has to be accessible. You got to know, all got to be marked, filed away, yeah? Everything neatly marked and everything. Where does Ish Novoin V'Chocham come in? Why is this the primary skill, that expert you need to have? As a threat of Elia. Zakt of Elia, a very important, and Yesoid, which is also very practical as well, very important. In good times, people like to imagine that it will go on like this forever. People are very limited in their vision. People see money, people see success, people see happiness, and they don't want to know anything different. What is a novoin? We know in Shemona Esra, we daven for deo bino v'haskil. Bino, says in Shforim, means lehovin dovo mitoich dovo. Deo is knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge can get you a certain amount. Bino is to take that knowledge and develop from that knowledge. That's what lahovin dovo mitoich dovo, to extract two from one plus one. Now, when somebody's in a situation or where things, what he sees on face value, you need a novoin. You need somebody with a depth of understanding to take what is in front of you and understand the next stage. A tremendous organizer will not be able to convince people who are having a party of a time that they should start saving. Because it's going good. We need to see. Organise. Organise what? Drainage can cut. There's plenty here. It's good year. The money's rolling. The novelin is somebody who can be maving dovo mitoich dovo, who can look at what's happening and extract the next stage. You have to be a novelin and then a chochem to convince people. He needs to be himself somebody capable of extracting the next stage from the current stage, and then a chochem to be able to convince people that the good party happening now is not here forever. This is why Yosef says to Pari, this is the primary skill that you need to look for. Somebody who's going to be able to turn around the country into saving mode. That you need a novoyim v'chochem. And Reb Elia says, this is particularly relevant to each and every one of us. Because on the face value, people look like, life's a good life. Life's a good life. But I think it was with Reb Elia that a father came to Reb Elia and said, I'm taking my son out to yeshiva. So Reb Elia asked him, why? So the father said, nope, they need the panosa. So he said, why did you need the panosa? Medavom, it's what's the leben. You should have what to live with. And Reb Elia said, aber medavom, it's what's to sterben. You need to have what to live with. You have what to die with. Zot Reb Elia, it's very nice what we see on the face value, but the party's on. But we've got to have a level of bina to understand that this party is not here forever. We've never met anyone who stayed here forever. There's a next stage. And we have to know how to be a novoyim. We have to throw as much as we can into our eternal pension fund that we're not in a hurry to claim from. We've got to stuff that fund as much as possible. We have to save and save and save. We have to chap Torah and mitzvahs at every opportunity. Not just enjoy the party where it is right now. I know we've moved off from sukkahs, but I just can't help but throwing in a phenomenal he'orah on the Arba Minim. We know the Esrog Lulav Adasim and Arobis. The Esrog is keneged the lev. The Lulav keneged the shedra of the spine. The Arobis are keneged the lips. And the Hadasim are keneged the eyes. Now, the lev we understand. We have one heart, one Esrog. We have one shedra, one spine, one Lulav. We have two lips. We have two Arobis. But why three Hadassim? We only have two eyes. Why three Hadassim? And I saw once a pshat with this vort of Reb Elia, because every Yid needs to have three eyes. We need to have the two eyes on what we see, and we need to have the eyesight, the far-sighted vision, the novoyim. We have to be loving dova mitoich dova. We've got to have a third eye ticking constantly. What you can't see, that's what the eye can't see. That's what we have to keep focusing on. Extracting from what we do have and utilizing every single opportunity to save and build even further. Yes. So, you're right. We shouldn't really gather on a Hanukkah without throwing in at least one teretz to the Beis Yosef's kasha. And this teretz was said by Rabbi Leib Lapien, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Thank you for mentioning it. Rabbi Leib Lapien, and the last Hanukkah of his life. You remember Rabbi Leib? Vaguely. The last Hanukkah of Rabbi Leib's life, and this vot is printed. Dov Oldberg lost the son 27, 28 years ago. Avromula, Tayre Bocha, I was in Meir at the time. And the next year, they brought out a Chayveres, a collection of Shtiklech Torah and Yonei Chanukah, Le'ilui Nishmas Avromula. This was just before Chanukah. It must have been a few days before Chanukah. We're going back 28 years ago. A fine bach, a very fine bach. And in there is printed this Shtikl Torah from Reb Leib Lapien. And Reb Leib said that Nisim, we know, are Chutz Miderech HaTeva. Teva is also a Shtikl Nes. Because why should oil burn more than water? The Rishon can make oil burn, the Rishon can make water burn as well. So, as much as somebody can walk on the hands of Chazon Ish, says in Munah B'Tochen that his spilus, to be amazed by the long nose of the giraffe, is kulay bedimyan veloy b'seichel. A Baal Seichel will not be more impressed on with the long nose of the giraffe than the short nose decorating your face. This is just as much of a nest. What's going on up there? The in and the out and what's going on? Why do we take this? We take this for granted. What are we so impressed about? The long nose of the giraffe. Simply because we're not used to seeing it. That's all. It strikes us as extraordinary. Zookeepers don't stand and gaze at the long nose of the giraffe. Long nose of the elephant, sorry. Long nose of the elephant. They're not impressed by that. Because they take it for granted. They see it every day. So the Chazon Ish says there's no real difference between Teva and Nes. No real difference. They're both. Teva is Rotzon Aboyrei Yoisa Shchiach, and Nes is Rotzon Aboyrei Pochus Shchiach. One is more often the Rotzon Aboyrei, and one is less often the Rotzon Aboyrei. But one is really as impressive as the other.
And that's with Yaakov when he said Malachim. Well, they were there next to the
Nest
and the thing.
Says Blei Blatin that really we shouldn't be taking oil for granted that it burns. But when after seven, they had enough oil to burn for one day, and it burnt for 7 days. When you see a Nest, you start appreciating the Teva. But really, we should be the eighth day. Says Reb Leib Lapien, is a celebration of the fact that oil burns at all, that we can warm ourselves, that we can get light, that we can have such benefit from oil. So Bnei Vino, we learn out from the Nes, Yemei Shmoina, they fixed 8 days and not 7 days. Kovu Shirunanim, says Reb Leib, because they looked at the Nes, and from the Nes, they learned to appreciate the Teva. That's the Bnei Vino Yemei Shmoina. Thank you for mentioning. We move on, and the dream starts happening. It gets real. This is so typical. I saw this at Ora, how traditional the anti-Semitism is. Pasuk Nun Dalad, Vatchileno Sheva Shnei Horov Lavoi Kasher Omar Yosef. The days of hunger began, like Yosef said. What about the good days? It doesn't say those happened, like Yosef said. The credit doesn't go to him for the good days. As soon as something goes not so well, cash on my Yosef's, all the Jews' fault. Apparently, I saw once Albert Einstein gave a presentation at a very prestigious venue.
Sorry, what was it called? Carried on as what? Well? What was it carried on?
Pasuk Nun Dalad. Vatchileno Sheva Shnei Horov Lavoi, when the years of famine began, Kasha Omar Yosef. That began like Yosef had told them. The trouble is all the Jews' fault. When the good days began and ran, didn't say like Yosef said. Albert Einstein was giving a presentation at one, a very prestigious venue, and he foresaw a lot of the impact his principles were going to have, his principles of physics that he was machadish, were going to have in society. And he finished off as follows. If I'm proven right, the French will say I'm a citizen of the world, and the Germans will say I'm a German. If I'm proven wrong, the French will say I'm a German, and the Germans will say I'm a Jew. This is the same. History hasn't changed, and we will not change it. The mistake some people make is they think we can. We cannot change this. This is inbuilt. Actually, of Mashiach to gain. Noch a gewaltige Haara. Let's jump towards the end of the parasha. We have the difficult sugya. Anything here to do with the Shvatim is so difficult for us. We're dealing with Shiktei Kor. We have to be so careful. Any words that we say. So Yosef plants the Becher, Peret Mem Dalet, Pasuk Gimel, Habuikir Benoshim Shulchu, Heimo Bachamayreim. The men were sent, they and their donkeys. What's their donkeys? The men were saying, well, if you go, well, then they don't... What's this hadgosha over here? What's the stress over here that the donkeys were also sent away? Well, who cares about the donkeys? The emes is that the Ramban already asked this question a bit earlier on when they were scared that they were being taken to Pari's house. And they said over there, in Pasuk Yudches, Mem Gimel Yudches, they said the men were scared, they were brought. V'lokachas oisonu la'avodim, we will be taken as slaves. V'es chamayreinu, and our donkeys. Over here again, the donkeys feature, the big deal about the donkeys. So the Ramban says over there in Pasuk Yudches that if they were concerned, if the donkeys are confiscated, they won't be able to send the fodder back to Yaakov Avinu. And Briskerov explains, because this was already the second year of the famine, and by this time everybody had traded in all the animals. Paro was now in control of all the animals. So if Paro is going to confiscate their donkeys, they won't have the opportunity to buy any replacements. There's nothing available. So therefore they were concerned over there about the donkeys, and Lefi the Ramban, that is the stress over here as well, that they were sent away with their donkeys. But the Sefer Keheles Yitzchak brings a gevaldige pshat from the son-in-law of Rabbi Yitzchak Mevolozhin. The Gemara says in Tanis, that there was a Tanna called Rabbi Yossi de Min Yukris, Grace of Tzadik, and for Parnassah, he used to hire out an animal. And the way it worked was, you took his animal, and at the end of the day, you just put the money onto the animal, and the animal made its way home. Unless there was too much or too little money on the donkey. The donkey wouldn't budge. One day, a guy rented the donkey, and he left his pair of shoes dangling on the donkey. The donkey didn't budge. Not taking somebody else's possessions home with me. The donkey wouldn't go. Zokta Blazer Yitzchak, the son of Yitzchak Mevolozhin, beautiful. Yosef HaTzadik knew that this plan of burying the Becher in Binyamin's sack, he was going to cause them tremendous Egmas Nefesh, tremendous tzar with the accusations. And he wasn't convinced that this was the right, this is what the Rebbe wants him to do. He wasn't sure, cause such tzar to the Shiftei Kohah. He wasn't sure about it. So he stood at the window. When he saw the goblet being placed into Binyamin's sack, he said, let's have a look. If already Rabbi Yossi, the Minyukras' donkey, wouldn't go with somebody else's things on, well then Binyamin's donkey definitely, the Eliga Shavatim, his donkey definitely won't go. Zot the Pasuk, Ho'anoshim Shulchu Heimo Vachamoyrein. They and their donkeys were sent away and they all went. If we can do the accusations. When Yosef saw that the donkey was prepared to go with somebody else's becha inside, so Yosef, from Shamayim they are being maskim to my plan. And if Shamayim is maskim to my plan, then after him, of Chemirim was sent, then Yosef Omar Asher Beisoy, Kumra Doif, Achrei Ho'anoshim, Gevaldi B'Kibshat. Everything is mentioned over here in the Torah. Just finish very briefly, one more short vart. Just before this, just over here, okay, we'll go leave that one, just something afterwards. So he catches up with them and he checks them. Started with the older one, and he finished with a large one, finished with a smaller one. There's a difficult medrash over here, the older. The medrash says, Bagodol heichel ze Shimon, Bakotin kilo ze Binyamin. As we interesting to medrash. Zot to be sure I leave this again, a beautiful pshat. The brothers claimed we are innocent. What's the proof? The money we found in our sacks, we brought back. So if already we brought back money we didn't have to bring back, Kal v'chomer, we're not going to come and steal. So Kal v'chomer, Rashi says this is a real Kal v'chomer. No, Shimon was in jail. He didn't bring his money back. Binyamin hadn't brought money the first time. So the Kal Vachomer didn't apply to Shimon and Binyamin. So the Medrash, Vayachapes, Bagodel, Eich, Bakot, and Kilo, he only checked Shimon and Binyamin. A very good Shabbos, a good Chodesh, a good Chanukah.